Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks for joining us this week. On this week's program, we'll hear from Chad Wilson, Vice President of Farm Development at Green Remedy in Louisville, Kentucky. Chad's also the owner of Sacred Seed Farm, and we'll discuss the 2019 hemp growing season in Kentucky and also focus on what all hemp farmers, regardless of location, need to pay attention to for the 2020 hemp growing season. We'll also get a few legislative updates from Midwest Hemp Council President and Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group of Council at Bose, McKinney & Evans, Justin Swanson. So let's get started with Chad Wilson. Chad, thanks for being on the show with us this week.
Jason, it's a pleasure to be here this evening.
I mean, we always appreciate it. Also, Chad is the owner of Sacred Seed Farm. So let's kind of revisit again what you do at Green Remedy, what Green Remedy does, and what Sacred Seed Farm is all about.
Sure, Jason. You know, really proud of Green Remedy. Green Remedy is just, you know, three guys that had a dream, and we worked real hard to make it happen. But we're one of the first soil-to-oil integrated companies from Kentucky, and basically controlling every aspect of the quality from the field to the bottle. We control it, white labeling, distilling. And of course, as you know, we've been doing it since 2014. So we're one of the, I guess you'd consider us old school and in today's society and then the hemp industry, I believe. But, you know, more than anything, just really proud. I'm sure you've seen those test results from up in Indiana and Green Remedy. It was exactly what we said was in the bottle and more. So we know we strive to bring a good quality product that's accountable. And fully transparent with full COAs right on the bottle. So that's kind of what we do there. Sacred Seed Farm, of course, we're doing breeding and genetics and things down here and working on some seed development. Of course, we'll have clones and things available for the 2020 season as we sent a lot of mammoth cultivars up there to Indiana last year. And hopefully we'll have some growing as well. And then we've got a great new CBG cultivar we're bringing into out of Kentucky to the farmers this year.
Well, Chad, of course, we always like and enjoy discussing the agriculture side of hemp. But of course, people do tune into this on the business side. And I do want to go back and give them a little nugget here. When you talk about white labeling, that does give folks an opportunity to enter the market without having to be growers, that sort of thing. So just go ahead and touch on white labeling just a bit and what type of service that is that you provide.
Yeah, our big thing, like I said, we even picked up some toll. You know, Green Remedy has never toll processed, but we've seen the need with the status of the industry and things. So we actually opened up another shift, and we started doing some toll processing for farmers to help them out. But the white labeling allows us to create brands and for other guys or companies and create those bottles under the same labeling, the same quality that they expect from a Green Remedy when it's got the Green Remedy product label on it. So basically, we can come in, we can formulate your own brands. We can, if a farmer has some oil, we can white label and create their product according to their specs from beginning to end with the appropriate labeling and the appropriate COAs and all the things that they can do to bring a fully transparent product to market.
And can folks come to you that do not have the oil themselves and purchase those products as white label?
We can design a personal and, like I said, put a graphic artist on it, design their labels and creations, and be more than happy to do so. And, of course, as always, we're looking for wholesales and distributors, of course, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why we wanted to give the opportunity to let them know out there that is available. Now, Chad, again, the last time we had you on, of course, this was before the 2019 growing season, and we discussed the fact that Kentucky got a head start on a lot of the other states with the 2014 Farm Bill, so they had hemp crops in the ground before the rest of the country. Now, talk about making that transition then from, say, 2018 to 2019. Was 2019 a better year for Kentucky in hemp?
Well, in many ways it was, but in many ways, as you know, with the USDA regulations trying to come on, putting some undue pressure on farmers, we're really lucky most of the states are adapting back to the 2014 Farm Bill. But, Jason, I got to be really honest. I'm really proud of Indiana and the work that's been done up there with the Midwest Hemp Council, Justin Swanson, Jamie Petty, all your rock stars up there, Marty Mahan. I mean, just people for years that have been putting their nose to the grind and making things happen. So kudos to that core group that has been up there working for years. The farmers need to realize the value of that team that is in Indiana, because I believe that if we had that team here, we would be, Indiana's in a better place for hemp than Kentucky, even though we're the leader, being truthful. I mean, we're working under laws that where we can't sell floral, where we can't raise the green leaf and sell it as microgreens. These are all products that should be legal under the, they are legal under the Farm Bill, but we don't have that right to grow it. So congratulations to the Indiana team for standing up for farmers' rights to bring a legal crop to market.
Oh, yeah, and absolutely. It's great that folks like Jamie and Justin are looking out for, you know, expanding the territories there and helping the other states.
Absolutely.
As well. And of course, that's why I always refer to it as a hemp community, not just state by state, but it's certainly a large community throughout the country.
Absolutely. And, you know, we did have some problems down here, just like I'm sure you've seen in Indiana. We had some bad seed. We had some different issues, some bad clones. That's why it's always important to vet and know and understand who's providing those. So, you know, just like us, Sacred Seed Farm, we verify that all of our plants through science are females. We have logs backdating and, you know, documenting everything. We have where we've grown them through the years. So just encouraging farmers to once again, know who they're getting their product, their growers from, really vetting them and understanding that, hey, this isn't their first year of raising clones. So I think that's important. And I'll be one of the big concerns, Jason, I'm really concerned about is not just 2019, but coming up in 2020 is the CBG bug that we're hearing. Mm-hmm. It's just starting to hear about. Mm-hmm. And that really has me concerned. You know, I want to be I'm known for being the hemp preacher. And in that, I believe that I preach the truth. And I'm just really concerned. A lot of farmers are going to get, you know, how we had the CBD bubble. I'm afraid that, and I'm kind of hearing that same thing that we heard 3 years ago, you know, crazy numbers per acre and all of that. So same thing. I don't want to see farmers go out and risk farms over CBG, because I tell everybody, ask your mother if she knows what CBG is. If she doesn't, then that means there's not a market for it. So don't risk your farm on CBG, and especially on unproven seeds. So I think that's going to be one thing that we experience in 2020.
Well, and it's very difficult for farmers to find their way through this maze sometimes. But that, of course, is why the Midwest Hemp Council has events, and other organizations do have events for the education value. One coming up this weekend, the National Hemp Expo there in Louisville, Kentucky. That's the 29th through the 1st. Again, a great opportunity for folks to get in there and pick somebody else's brain, find out what's going on. But tell us about the National Hemp Expo and what folks can get out of that.
Yeah, great little event. You know, just the second year. So that's Dustin Griffith is putting that on. And I'm really proud. I just kind of help them line up events and get booth space and help them do some things like that. But, you know, it's very important for Kentucky. It's a good event for us. It's a hub where everybody can fly into Louisville from all across the country. He's doubled it in size, got some great speakers, a lot of guys coming down from Indiana. I believe Austin Rodas has been lined up to speak, if I remember correctly. I believe Jamie Petty. So a lot of leaders from Indiana coming down to speak and share their knowledge, as well as a lot of good growers and information from Kentucky. So if they're wanting to learn, this is going to be a good event to come out, shake the hands, meet the people, and you know, build those relationships. I truly believe hemp is more than CBD, but it's also more than just a plant. It, like you said, it's a community, and we need to realize that by working together in this community, that's what makes us strong, and that's what makes us be able to handle the storms that's going to come. We're stronger together than separated.
Yeah, obviously there is no such thing as just digging a hole, dropping a seed in, watering it, and letting it grow on its own, is there?
Well, you know, we always hear it's just a weed, but there's a difference between a plant surviving and a plant thriving and reaching its full genetic potential. And that's what the farmer needs, full genetic potential with a 1% crop that allows him to grow it all the way to completion so he can make the money that he deserves to make for the time and effort that he puts into growing and raising that acreage of hemp.
Well, Chad, again, you mentioned that, of course, everybody, each year is a learning experience. We've got 2019 behind us. Everybody hopefully will have a headwind going into 2020. What do you foresee in 2020 without having a crystal ball and knowing what the weather is going to be like and those sorts of things? What do you look for in 2020?
Well, I, you know, like I said, I believe we need to have the cautionary watch of the CBG, not to get caught in that because the you know, CBG is not 50,000 a kilo anymore, like it was a year and a half ago. Those numbers have dropped rather significantly. So I want to kind of warn about that. But I believe we're going to come out of this. I believe that we're going to have a little, we've got some overproduction. Unfortunately, I'm afraid we're going to have some farmers that wasn't prepared for the 2019 season and didn't have their crops stored properly, and maybe some degradation. I believe that could be something real. So I believe that we're going to see some correction. I think that we grew too much hemp for what we had educated the market for across the country. Mm-hmm. So I believe if we keep on educating, because we know the benefit of this amazing compound and plant, I believe we're going to see CBD come back up in value. But the other thing the farmer needs to realize is our crop does have value. Hold on to that crop value. Don't let it go too cheap, because I do believe we're going to see a rebound. But I do also believe that it's time for CBD to start coming down in price, and we're getting that volume to do that in the market to make it more affordable for more of the average daily consumer to use. And I think that that's going to be used. So I believe we're going to see a little bit of a correction. I believe we're going to see the start of CBG, and I believe we're going to start, of course, CBN, and we're going to start seeing, I believe more than anything, Jason, that we're going to start seeing farms pop up special cannabinoids. That's really what I see. We're going to start doing genetics for every cannabinoid, and this buyer is going to need this. And I just see a bright future for the hemp industry, but I always want to say this, it's more than CBD, and I want to get that message out.
Absolutely. Chad Wilson, Vice President of Farm Development at Green Remedy in Louisville, Kentucky, also the owner of Sacred Seed Farm. Chad, how can folks get to those or get information about your companies and get a hold of you if they want to?
Sure. They can always reach out to us, sacredseedfarm.com, greenremedy.com, and then, of course, my distribution company, modernfarmconcepts.com. Go to there and, of course, look us up. Our corporate numbers, they can reach out to me. Private messages on Facebook are welcome, or through our website. Just any way we can help. We're here to help the community and educate, because I still believe education is a very big part of this industry, and we don't need to let that die right now.
And, of course, I assume we'll be able to catch you roaming around the National Health National Hemp Expo this
yeah,
weekend.
Yeah, we got a booth up there, and come by and see us. So we'll be bumping around between Green Remedy, Sacred Seed Farm, and the Kentucky Hemp Farmers Association. But definitely, guys, if you don't care, Jason, give them a call out to come visit the KHFA. The KHFA is making big moves for 1%, a 1% move, then also on floral. So we'd like to, anybody that's interested in helping with that move, because farmers, we recognize that we need a 1% THC threshold. The Kentucky Hemp Farmers Association, find them at the National Hemp Expo, and they'll be more than happy to guide you and show you what we're doing so we can help overcome this challenge for the farmer.
And once again, some great information, Chad. Always appreciated.
Thank you so much for having me. As always, enjoy speaking to you and enjoy the work that the Midwest Hemp Council is doing up there. Really proud of y'all. Y'all have really come together, and you're doing amazing work.
Well, thanks so much, and we'll see you this weekend.
Have a good one, sir.
All right, take care, Chad. All right, as we continue on, we're speaking with Justin Swanson, Midwest Hemp Council President. He's also the Vice President of Bose Public Affairs Group of Council at Bose, McKinney, and Evans. Justin, thanks again for being on the program this week.
Always happy to be here.
Absolutely, and we appreciate you being here. Now, a couple things that we want to get to here. We bring you on to talk about litigation and what's going on with hemp in the legislation and legislature. Right now, the only bill really with any hemp language in it is Senate Bill 335. Tell us what that's about and why we should be interested in that.
So this is, I think in committee today, it turned into about a 150-page bill, and we're just one small section, Section 69 in there. What it does is it clarifies and allows smokable hemp products to move interstate, meaning it's, for example, it'll come in from Ohio and on its way to Illinois. It clarifies and makes it clear that the state recognizes they don't have the authority to interfere with those products moving interstate through interstate commerce. Mm-hmm. So it's from a 10,000 foot overview, it's nice that the state recognizes they don't have the authority to do that under the 18 Farm Bill. So it's good for our outer state members. If they want to ship, you know, they don't have to basically avoid Indiana if they're shipping product through smokable hemp products through
sure.
here.
I mean, we are the crossroads of America.
Exactly right. And I think the Congress was pretty clear. They didn't want to create kind of islands of prohibition where, you know, businesses had to avoid certain states to get it from point A to point B. So from that perspective, it's good. But, you know, at the end of the day, this does impact the pending litigation in the Seventh Circuit right now. And kind of our position was, if you're going to do this, just get rid of the whole statute. And that way we don't have to wait for a court decision for a court ruling on whether or not states have the ability to narrow the definition of hemp and interfere with the interstate commerce of hemp and hemp products. So ultimately, committee chairwoman McNamara put in language for us that basically maintains the status quo and removes any of that new language in the bill.
And Justin, not to put you on the spot, but are you aware of any other product in the United States that would have this sort of problem that is a legal product?
I am not. That's kind of the, you know, one of our main goals through all of this in talking with the public and legislators and other stakeholders is to try to destigmatize the entire hemp industry, the entire hemp plant, and really keep moving forward to being treated like any other agricultural product in the United States.
All right, Justin, and again, that was the only bill out there that has any hemp language in it right now, but there is an amendment to Senate Bill 79. Tell us what that would mean.
So this is a really creative idea, and unfortunately it didn't move, but it's nice to see that Indiana lawmakers are really starting to understand the challenges farmers are having with this new industry and looking for ways to either remove those, remove the roadblocks or at least mitigate some of the risks they have up front. So what this did is it created a definition in statute referred to as proven hemp genetics. And that really means is, you know, if a farmer plants a genetic and he's able to harvest it, meaning he passed his pre-harvest test through the state seed commissioner. So that'll basically get put on a list, basically a green light list. And so the following year, if a different farmer or same farmer uses those same genetics and he goes hot, this will allow them to appeal to the seed commissioner to take it to a licensed processor in the state. And it requires the seed commissioner to grant that appeal. So what it really did would create a safe harbor for farmers so long as they're using known genetics.
And that amendment did not pass?
No, it did not. Wasn't taken a vote on, but I just wanted to bring it up today just to kind of highlight that I think, you know, the general public and people in the industry talking to their lawmakers does have a positive impact. And I think this is basically a case in point that we do have an impact for lawmakers. And this is an idea that's pretty creative that I haven't seen anywhere else in the country.
And typically you would assume a lawmaker would not come up with a bill like this unless he had the input from the community, because again, there is no hemp lobby out there that are pushing these sorts of things. So it is very important for the individuals to be involved and contact their legislatures to educate, not to complain.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's even better too, if you're able to educate and say, hey, here's my issue and here's a possible solution to that issue.
All right. What else do we have on the litigation front with hemp?
So we will be up in the Seventh Circuit on Tuesday, April 14th. So we'll be up there in less than 2 months. So we're looking forward to the industry's day in court and to get a ruling from the Seventh Circuit that will hopefully maintain the status quo, meaning our injunction will be upheld. And then if we are successful there, we'll move for a motion for a permanent injunction, which will kind of put the issue to rest. And that will set us up for some cleanup language during the 2021 legislative session.
And assuming all this gets done, does that look good for the hemp community heading into 2020?
Yeah, it does. I think I think this kind of puts Indiana kind of on the national forefront of sticking up for the hemp industry and for the farmers. Mm-hmm. And actually just, I think it was a day or two ago, Virginia actually passed a bill that had explicit language in there that made it clear that smokable hemp was legal. So I think it's really starting to have a ripple effect across the country, and that other lawmakers and general assemblies across the country are looking at Indiana's lawsuit and understanding that, you know, Congress is very clear that they want this treated like any other agricultural crop once again.
Well, it's great to see some Hoosiers leading the way. Anything else there, Justin, that we need to catch up on?
No. So the legislative session will end tentatively March 11th. Committee deadline is tomorrow. So we will be doing conference committees sometime next week. That's really when the sausage gets made. And I'm very, very much looking forward for session being out.
Well, we'll get you back on the line, let you pull that curtain back and let us see how they're making that sausage.
All right. Sounds good, Jason.
All right. Thanks, Justin. Again, Justin Swanson, Midwest Hemp Council President, Vice President of Bowes Public Affairs Group of Council at Bowes, McKinney & Evans. And again, Justin, we look forward to next week.
Thanks a lot, Jason.
And that's going to do it for our show this week. Thanks for listening to the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bowes Public Affairs Group at Bowes, McKinney & Evans. You can find more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, as well as our entire catalog of podcasts, on our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more. So long, everybody.